Acts chapter 1, I want to base what I say this morning on Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. So we're thinking about the growth of the church. We've thought about the church in Jerusalem. It's our mother church. It's where the church of Christ began. And it's founded upon the apostles and their experience of Jesus and their teaching about Jesus. And it's founded ultimately upon Jesus himself and his life, death, resurrection, his enthronement in glory. And it's founded upon the power of the Holy Spirit. So we've seen the foundation of the church. We've thought about the practice of the church. We looked at chapter 2:42, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. We thought about the care of the church. We thought about the authority of the church. And now we're going to think about the expansion of the church this week and next week, hopefully. So Jesus, just before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he said to the apostles and the other believers there, he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, when we meet together on Sunday, we look forward to seeing one another. We love being together and sharing together. But these empty seats trouble us, and we think about those in our own families, in our workplaces, in our neighbourhoods, among our friends, whom we would love to see sitting in these empty seats. Think about that. Who would you like to be there with you today? How does the church grow? How do people come to be added to the number of those who already believe? And we're going to look at verse 8 here and just work through a few things about growth. And the first thing that I want to say simply is this, that growth in the church is not about numbers just, but it's about people who follow Jesus. Growth in the church is when people who follow Jesus increase in number. It's not just people, but people who follow Jesus. Because you can grow a church. I could guarantee filling all these seats next Sunday. If I, for example, went out into the community with a leaflet this week and said, "I will give you £100 if you come to church next Sunday." Okay, that would work. If we had innovations, gimmicks, you know, if we were edgy, if we were controversial, we had a stand-up comedian, or you know, a jazz ensemble, or whatever, in the church next Sunday, and people knew about it, we could fill the church. But the church grew on the basis of one attraction, and one attraction only, and that attraction was Jesus. So, verse 8: "You will be my witnesses." Jesus was the attraction, and people came to join us because of their attraction to Jesus. And so the second thing is, the growth was on the basis of who Jesus is. "You'll be my witnesses," he says. And you can imagine the disciples, because Jesus is saying to them, "I'm going away, I'm about to ascend to heaven, I'm going to leave you." And you can imagine them thinking, after Jesus says this, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth," how's that going to work? How is the church going to grow? Because we're not the attraction, Peter would have said. "I'm not the attraction," John would have said. All the disciples would have said, "You know, we don't see people joining us because of who we are. We see people joining us because of who you are, Jesus. So if you're not here, how's the church going to grow?" But that's the point. The church doesn't grow on the basis of who you are. It does grow on the basis of who Jesus is. And so if it is going to grow, thirdly, it's going to grow on the basis of others hearing. Not about what great people we are, but about the glory of Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. It's going to grow on the basis of Jesus hearing about him. What's the church going to talk about and speak about and preach about? You will be my witnesses, Jesus says. You're going to speak about me, and that's what we offer. Because most other things that the church offers, you can find elsewhere as well. You can find a cup of tea and a nice chat and friendship and a whole lot of other things that the church can give anywhere. But only the church speaks about Jesus. We're going to speak next week about the message, so we'll not go into that in detail just now. But you can appreciate that from what is happening in the early chapters of Acts, that the central figure who is doing all the drawing and making all the growth happen is Jesus. It's not the apostles, it's not the people who are in the church. So I found myself the other day speaking to a gentleman in the community who, when he was a boy, went to this church and doesn't. And I said, come along. And I found myself saying to him, well, come and see what we've done in the building and see what a great new facility we have. But then I thought to myself, didn't say this to him, but I thought to myself, well, if that's all that's going to attract him, it won't last. What is going to attract him and her and them is Jesus. Or if they're not attracted to Jesus, then they're not going to keep a commitment to the church. It's got to be people hearing about Jesus. He is the attraction. And the growth accrues around people who already know Jesus, who already have that personal relationship. So Jesus says to them, you will be my witnesses. So the people who already know him are the basis of the further growth. And pretty much everyone that's a Christian will be able to tell how they became a Christian in terms of, well, it was through my friend. It was through my mother. It was through someone who knew Jesus telling me about Jesus, that was the way. It might have been through going to church and hearing about Jesus in the church. But ultimately, it's the people who already know Jesus, that's you, being the basis, being the seed crystal, which will be the foundation of further growth. Sometimes Jesus works without that. Sometimes people, especially these days when they can hear about Jesus through the internet or on the radio or whatever, sometimes people don't have other people involved. But generally, that's the story. And if you think about your story, there'll probably be some particular Christian who was the help that you needed as they showed you who Jesus was. So we've got to think of ourselves as the basis. We've got to think of ourselves, and it's what we are as people who know Jesus that is going to determine whether the church grows or whether it falls in the long run. So the growth then is by addition to those who know Jesus, but they've got to not just know Jesus, they've got to be alive to Jesus. So Jesus says in this verse, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So now, it's not just they'll be his witnesses, but they'll have power to be his witnesses. The Holy Spirit is going to come, and the people who know Jesus are going to really get alive to their relationship with Jesus, and they're going to find themselves, because they're so excited personally about Jesus, they're going to find themselves talking about him, and they're going to find themselves urging others to take him seriously for themselves. And so the challenge to you and me is to be excited about Jesus. So we ask ourselves this morning, how excited are you, how excited am I, about Jesus? You know that you talk about the news that you're most excited about. And for us in the church, that news has got to be Jesus. And so we've got to try and do things that help us to be excited about the news of Jesus. And that's why the church has its meetings, one of the reasons, so that we can be inspired. That's why in the community there are Bible studies for men and for women. And for example, the men's study is conducted by email. Just ask me, because I love it and it's great, and I'd like every man in the community to be part of it, to be inspired by that. The Free Church has various courses that we saw in Highland Theological College as well, for those who want to go a bit deeper. The trauma healing course that's starting this week. If you can't go on it this week, I think we'll try and maybe arrange another one for later on in the summer perhaps. But these things to help us to be excited about what Jesus can do and who he is. Your own study of the Bible. Make sure you've got ways that really help you access the Bible. You know, like booklets perhaps that will have you working through things and explain things to you. Your own prayer as well. You've got to take time to get excited about Jesus. So if this week there's a knock at your door and you open your door and there's William and Catherine, not this William and Catherine, but what was his proper title? Wills and Kate, anyway. Okay, you know who I mean. And they're at the door. You're not going to say to them, "It's really nice to see you, but actually I'm busy today." Are you? Now, we're talking about Jesus who knocks at your door every day and my door. We mustn't ever be too busy for him. He's the Lord of glory. And that is what's needed. We need to give time for growth to happen. We've got to work at it. You see, we're not going out to people in the community to say to them, "Dear friends, we want you to join our church, because in our church, we're not very excited about Jesus." That's not going to work, is it? Well, if you're not very excited about Jesus, why should we be? Is the kind of response you'd expect. So we need to be alive ourselves to Jesus Christ. And that's yours and my principal challenge. We've got to take time and find ways to really nurture a relationship with Jesus in which we get excited about Jesus. So that in the morning, maybe you've read something about Jesus and his compassion on the multitude, for example. And later in the day, you're having coffee with a friend and they're feeling down. And it's so easy in that situation then to say, "Well, actually this morning I was reading about Jesus' compassion." But if you didn't get excited about Jesus' compassion in the morning, you're not going to find it possible to speak about Jesus' compassion in the afternoon. It's not the same trying to do it in a dutiful way. Like, "Well, I really feel I ought to speak about Jesus' compassion here, so I better do it." There's no infectiousness in that. It's got to be that you are excited about Jesus and your relationship with him. That you're thrilled to have had your sins forgiven by what he did for you on the cross. That you're overwhelmed with amazement at his sovereign power as he sits on the throne of the universe. So the best that you and I can do for others in our community is to be alive to Jesus. But let's continue with this verse. It's a growth that goes beyond our community, or any community. I wonder how the apostles felt when Jesus said in verse 8, you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Well, that's fine, that's where we are. And in all Judea, that's a big area, and Samaria, the Samaritans, they're the worst. And to the ends of the earth, they must have thought, well, seriously? Or when Jesus said on another occasion just before he ascended, go and make disciples of all nations. All nations. The disciples' plans were very much smaller plans than Jesus' plans. And they must have thought to Jesus, well, just, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves here. But they couldn't imagine what was ahead. You know, some of these disciples ministered all over the Mediterranean world, went to places they'd never been, into situations they couldn't even imagine ever being in. And even, we believe, Thomas went over to India. You know, they covered a huge area. And that is the way it is in the church. When I came to Kyle, more than 30 years ago, I wasn't thinking much about world mission. I came to a congregation that was, thankfully, thinking about world mission, and that was a great challenge and inspiration to me. But Jesus was thinking about world mission. Now, if you were to sit down this afternoon and look at all the countries that this congregation has been involved in, either in supporting people in mission or actually going in mission to, that would be a long list. A long list. When you start thinking about it, like, where have Donald and Miss Angela been? Where has Jamie Stewart been? Now, Jamie actually is the best example. You can cheat with Jamie because he was on the mission ship, the Doulos, and he went right the way through the Caribbean and covered a pile of countries and up the west coast of America. So he saw a lot. But, you know, some of the others, I didn't think I'd be doing a wedding in Switzerland or in Brazil when I came to minister in the congregation. Like, but Jesus had that plan for ministry in other places. Jesus himself was a great missionary. He ministered in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, in the Decapolis, in Galilee, in Perea, in Phoenicia, in Syria, a large area in just 3 years of his public ministry. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit ministers in many different languages to the gathered pilgrims there for the feast of Pentecost. So it's no surprise that the growth that we're thinking about isn't just about filling our chairs. Jesus is thinking about how you can fill or grow churches in other parts of the world as well. It's a big mission field. And actually what's translated there in verse 8 is to the ends of the earth, which is how we would kind of say it, actually literally is to the last of the earth. So it's not just a picture of going to faraway places, but it's a picture of going to the end of this age with the gospel. To the last of the earth, you're going to be my witnesses. Or in chapter 2, verse 39, you know, this promise is not only to you and your children, but to those who are far off, Peter says. Far off, that's another picture of Jesus' mission field. And Peter's just beginning to get it at that point. Far off. And in chapter 2, 21, far off turns out to mean among the Gentiles. Remember, Paul, standing in Jerusalem, says, Jesus told me, go and send you far off to the Gentiles. And that's when the crowd wanted to stone him, because they weren't thinking about world mission. But the church was. Now, it's not just talk, because this growth happened. We start in chapter 1 with 120 in the church. And remember also, Paul tells us that there were 500 up in Galilee, so there was a considerable body of people. And then in chapter 2:41, we read on the day of Pentecost, there's 3,000. And in chapter 4, verse 4, we read it's grown to 5,000 people. And we're also told in chapter 5:14, we're only counting men there, as they did in those days. It's like the feeding of the 5,000 was the feeding of more than 10,000. Because they only counted men. That's what they did. Don't take it up with me. So you've got 10,000, more than 10,000. disciples of Jesus in Jerusalem. And we read about the daily growth. The Lord added daily to the number. And the action, as we hinted at the beginning of chapter 8, moved out from Jerusalem eventually. But before it did, there's a summary statement of the growth in chapter 6, verse 7. The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. The church grew and grew and grew, and the persecution broke out that scattered the church. And that was the best thing that could have happened, because then the church just grew elsewhere and grew and grew and grew, places like Antioch. And then when the Paul and Barnabas went out, and the church grew in places like Ephesus and Colossae, Philippi, Rome. It grew and it grew. Before the end of the first century, the church was in Britain. And guess who brought the church to Britain? Roman soldiers who were Christians. Not exciting. The church grew. And it's grown to the point where it's reached us. And think of that. You know, think of the phenomena of us, or the phenomenon of us sitting here this morning, reading about the church 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Another time, another place, another culture. But we're here. Think about what that's taken. The church grows. That's the nature of the church. Because Jesus is worthy that you and I should be excited about him. And the final point is that that growth is still happening. Because as Jesus says here, you'll be my witnesses to the last of the earth. It's not just going to be them, it's going to be whoever follows them. To the last, to the very end of the age. And it's easy to forget that in times that are lean, because times are lean spiritually in Kyle. It's not the best time of the church at all. It's a bit like, you know, thinking, well, this is the way it is, but it's not. You could go to many, many places in the world today and see growth like the growth in the early church. I mean, if you subscribe to something like the Scottish Bible Society magazine, you hear about growth in North Africa and Muslim countries just now. Underground growth because of the persecution. It's thrilling. God is growing his church because there are people who are really excited about Jesus, and that's all it takes. The seed, it's not people's seed, but the seed is the word of God, as Jesus taught in the parable of the sower. And the power of the Spirit is the same. Jesus is still on the throne, and nothing has changed from God's point of view. It's just that we need to be ourselves working at getting excited about Jesus. Now, some people say, yeah, that's fine, but you know, we're more sophisticated now in this society. We're more sophisticated. And that is a very self-righteous, short-sighted and ignorant thing to say. Because actually, when I look around at my society, I see a mess. I see a terrible mess. I mean, we're hearing about crisis after crisis. And it's not just like, you know, the crisis in Ukraine or the cost of living crisis. We're hearing about mental health crisis. We're hearing about addiction crises. And the list goes on. And there's a crisis because people are absolutely empty. They don't know what to think. Because they've lost touch with Jesus, with God, with meaning, with purpose, with human dignity. There's a crisis of human identity People are trying to reinvent themselves, and they're just so messed up. No, the message of Jesus is more needed than ever. And his power to transform communities remains. And for the sake of our community, we need to be alive to Jesus Christ so that we've got something to offer and someone to offer to our community, which is in truly desperate need, as every community is these days. What brokenness, what sadness there is in our world. And the little fix of entertainment is nice, but it's temporary. It's illusory. We always have to come back down to the reality of our lives. And, you know, I'm not going to get controversial and speak about football, but everyone's going to lose on penalties at the end unless they have Jesus. Because everyone is going to come to a crunching face-to-face experience of reality when they meet God on the day of judgment and receive the penalty due to them for their sin unless they have Jesus. There's no escape from the mess that sin creates in the world except through Jesus Christ. And if we love our community, which we do, the greatest favor we can do to it is to be alive to Jesus. It's amazing the church is here, and the fact the church is here is testimony to the reality of the things that Peter preached and the apostles preached. Because if Peter and the apostles were preaching something they made up themselves, it wouldn't have lasted. There's a remarkable passage in chapter 5 where they're really furious with the apostles for preaching about Jesus to the people. They hate that. And they want to shut them up. And so they're going to kill them. They wanted to put them to death, 5 verse 33. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel. What a lot we've got to be thankful for Gamaliel. Gamaliel, of course, trained Saul of Tarsus thoroughly in the scriptures. Well, Gamaliel, he says, gentlemen, he says, we've seen lots of movements. People come and go, you know. Thutis appeared, claiming to be somebody. 400 people rallied to him. He was killed, and his followers were dispersed. It all came to nothing. Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in this present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Now, Gamaliel was right. The church is of God, and if it's of God, then we need to take ourselves seriously. The reason we exist is because Jesus is on the throne. The Holy Spirit is in the church, and we've got good news to share with our community. We need to be excited about it. And as we are, that excitement will spill over in our lives to others. They'll hear, and it'll be the most exciting thing that they have ever heard, because there's nothing exciting like the excitement of walking with God in life, growth, to the end of the age, to the last of the earth, to the ends of the earth. Let's be part of that, and let's see these chairs filled with excited people who love Jesus. Amen. Let's bow in prayer for a second together. So Lord, just as the children went out singing this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Lord, help us to go out here this morning in that same frame of mind. Help us to shine the light of Jesus. Help us to shine brightly ourselves with the excitement of the news that we have of him. And help us to shine that light into our community, that many may come to life in Jesus Christ. Amen.